since the treaty was created 40 years ago, I think the science has really galloped along, and there are now tools we have to be able to transform pathogens, bacteria, viruses, in very useful ways for the most part. We can use bacteria and viruses to make new products, new medicines, new agriculture, food supplies. But one of the downsides of this technology, and it's a potential downside, we don't have evidence it's being used this way now, is that you can take organisms that have certain characteristics and you can give them new, more worrisome ones. So, for example, it's possible to take a virus that is not transmissible between people and to engineer it in a way so that it becomes transmissible between people. And those are the kinds of developments. That's an example of powerful developments that the global community needs to take stock of, that we need to understand around the Biological Weapons Convention.
Because it was, when it was set up, this kind of thing just was not possible. And I guess people want to know, how real is that threat now?
I think the science is very real. The good news is we don't have any evidence that these programs are being developed in the world. There is an international treaty which 179 countries have signed, and it's the only treaty that's outlawed an entire class of weapons. And as far as we can tell, countries that have signed this treaty are not developing biological weapons. It is certainly a treaty that has developed norms that are being adhered to. So that's the good news. It is dependent on countries to enforce those norms. And so one of the challenges is, how can this treaty that was written 40 years ago evolve to keep up with all that's possible in biology? How do we steer our own national governments in ways that we have good, reasonable oversight that doesn't slow down science, that allows science to move forward, but is aware of the potential for misuse? And how does this treaty, which again is a very short document written long ago, how does it engage the scientists of the world? Most of biology is happening far outside the control of government. And so to have any sense of this treaty being relevant to that world, we have to engage scientists and make them understand that there is a biological weapons treaty, and that it's for the good of all of us, and we need it to keep pace with the times.
So industry would be, given that you say biology takes place outside the remit of government, and it's not at all, in 99.9% of cases, a bad thing either. I
mean, almost entirely good.
But at the same time, industry might be slightly wary of getting involved because it would be wary of restrictions. So how do you overcome that problem?
Well, I think that's why people are very wary of developing overly restrictive regulations, because we need biotechnology to help solve the world's problems. We need it for the medicines that we use and for new food supplies, for industry. Biology is developing ways of making industrial enzymes that are cleaner and cheaper. So we need biology. So we can't do things that are going to slow biology down, and the markets of the world are also going to drive it forward because it's very good for countries' economies. So I think the best that we can do is to ensure that there are a responsible people involved interacting with industry, interacting with academic scientists who are monitoring for developments that could be challenging for the world, that could pose new risks. And when those very extraordinary risks do develop, that we have rational, thoughtful deliberations about what might control those, or at least guide those developments without slowing down the good progress of science.